Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
You know what? Just as far as, we're in phase three, spring ball. We got two practices left. You know, very, very encouraged with the way the group worked throughout these first couple. No, I shouldn't say first. Throughout the first, 80% of spring practice, man. The way the group moved through drills and the pace that they moved and the pace in which they worked. Very, very pleased, man. We got a lot accomplished, so I'm excited about that. A little bit disappointed. I shouldn't say disappointed. A little sad that, we're going to have to shut it down after Saturday. It'll be over until August 15th. But, it was good to work with the group. We got a good group of guys. We all want the same thing, right? We all want wins on Saturday. So they're doing what they need to do that. From a coach's standpoint, we're juggling two hats, right? Well, we're actually juggling three hats right now, right? Working with our players during spring practice, and then obviously, crossing the T's and dotting the I's on the 2024 class, and then identifying 2025s. We had 25 kids on campus on Saturday. We got another, 25 to 26 coming this Saturday for 2025. So, it never stops. So it was good. It's good. It's a good problem to have. We enjoy the work. We run towards it, and we're excited about, what the future has for us. So,
25 people there at the same time. That as big a number as it sounds like to have there for a recruiting trip?
You'd be surprised. We're very intentional on what we do. There's some schools in the league that'll have 50 kids on the junior day. We don't want to. We're not that. We don't want to be that because, again, that gets a little bit too much into the, well, for us, our philosophy as far as mass recruiting. That's not what we're trying to do. We're really trying to ID guys that fit Hamline University. Young men, academically, socially, geographically, financially, so we're just really trying to ID guys that fit for us. So, we're not trying to cast a super big net. Good. 25 is a good number for Hamline. 50 is a good number for some other places.
Wow. Well, let's jump into fan questions, and we'll start with Jimmy, who says, Coach, I noticed that on the MIAC site that they said that there was one Hamline person who made the NFF Hampshire Honor Society for 2024. That seems like a joke, as there were 16 from Gustavus, but just one from Hamline. Does this honor really matter when a prestigious school like Hamline only has one person make the list?
Yeah, I think we got this question last year. Some of these lists and these trophies that they hand out, I don't even know what some of these things are. So, that's something that, our SID kind of handles that. But again, I feel like we got this question last year. We always try to push and make sure our young men are getting represented the right way. So, I don't know too much about it. And, I don't.
I think there were none from last year. So I guess that's progress. It's one person. So Ray has a couple of questions for you that I thought were pretty interesting. So he says, talking about the psychology of coaching, how do you handle players today that have grown up overly criticizing themselves for their performance on the field, or who have overly critical fathers who never see anything good in what they do?
Yeah, that's a great one, man. We have a couple young men that you can kind of tell that their dads, they're trying to have success through football to please others. Let's put it like that. It's tricky. You got to have honest conversations with them, let those guys know that this is their time. Their parents' time is, or whoever's time, that time is fast. I have honest conversations with my guys, and I say, listen, man, my time in college was from 1998 to 2002. Whatever I did in that time, that's it. You can't live through these young guys, man, because they have so much going on. Their times are so different. So with that being said, to answer the question, just really have an honest conversation with them and just letting them know that, this is your journey, your path. Other people have had their own journeys and paths. And, if they're putting that kind of pressure on, you got to have an honest conversation and say, hey, man, that's not fair. I got to do what I got to do. So that's a great question because we do have that, and I see it, and I can see the pressure on these young people, So
he'd also like to know, how do you deal with those players who are in a funk, a kind of rut where they just can't seem to get themselves motivated any longer?
Yeah, that one's tricky because again, you know, I played for a coach. He would always talk about before both feet hit the ground, you've already decided what kind of day it's going to be. You know, so I try to instill that in the guys. But it's tough. There's some kids. We have some guys on our team. I can name two guys right now. Kai Worth, running back from Utah. That guy's always got a great demeanor about him. You know, we had a fifth-year senior last year, Evan Miller, always had a great aura about him and a good smile. So I think that's actually an art and a talent. Some guys just don't have it. Some guys wake up and they've already decided it's going to be a bad day. So we've got to continue to talk about that and just let them know, hey, you decide your attitude. You know, you decide how you want to feel in the morning when you wake up. So, yeah, that's a tricky one because I'd say 80% of our team show up ready to roll, and then, you know, you got 20% that feel sorry for themselves, woe is me, and the world doesn't care about that. So those are the things we're trying to make sure they understand. So
next up is Tim, who would like to know, how do you feel about the level of interest in football at the youth age in comparison to, let's say, 20 years ago?
I think it's very 20 years ago. Wow. You know what? That's tough. But you know what? For me to just spit something out, I want to be careful because I wasn't really dealing with the youth age 20 years ago. All I can think about is when I was, 1991, 92, 93, when I was playing youth football, like I couldn't wait to go to practice or to have those games. So I was very enthusiastic about it, but things have changed. Times have changed. I don't know, you know, just where people's heads are at as far as that. So I don't know. That's a hard, I can't answer that question. I'm not qualified to answer it because my time frame is so far out of it that I wouldn't know.
Bradley has a couple of questions for you. He'd first of all like to know what you think of the UFL season so far, if you've watched any of it.
You know what? I always kind of catch it. I've never watched the full game yet. I'm interested in it because I know a couple of coaches that are coaching in it, so you want to support those guys. But just, you know, the timing of it just doesn't time up for them. You know, we always got recruits on Saturdays and something's going on, so I feel bad that I haven't spent a lot of time evaluating that stuff because it is. I think it is good football. You know, I think it's good ball, but I haven't had a chance to really dive into it. So, you know, hopefully this weekend, this is our last weekend of practice, so maybe, you know, depending on how long it goes, I can spend some time and watch what these guys are doing. Because, again, you can always learn something. So,
he'd also like to know, how do you see the NBA playoffs shaking out now, and do you see Boston as the team to beat?
Well, let's just say this. I made it a point. We practiced at 6 o'clock this morning. So, you know, when we had those kind of practices, I can kind of tailor my day. So I made sure that my slate from 5:30 to 8 o'clock is free to watch the Sixers. So let's make sure we understand that. I'm very excited, man. Did not expect Golden State to lose last night. It was good to see the Lakers win. I don't know, man. I think Denver. I hate to say this, but Boston. It's solid. I think those are the two front runners right now. But again, everybody knows I love the Sixers. So I want to see the Sixers win tonight. And, you know, hopefully Embiid can get back to who he was and we can make a deep run in this thing. So
I can feel how sour those words were coming out of your mouth.
As a Philadelphia guy. You got to be honest.
Andrea would like to know, she says, there seems to be a lot of stories recently about sports figures getting in trouble for gambling accusations. Do you ever talk to students about this or other similar types of subjects that can lead a student astray?
Well, it's all about education now. I think it's somebody from Toronto, maybe might have just got in trouble, if I'm not mistaken. So when current events happen, you know, you have to, well, you'd be fooling yourself if you don't talk about it with your team. I think it's important. I think it's very important to talk about it with these guys because, right, gambling, I think about gambling even back when I was in college, like what that even looked like. These guys can gamble on their phones, man, like in a different world, man. So you got to communicate with them and you got to talk about it and just educate them and just say, hey, listen, you make a choice, man, there's consequences of choices, so just be smart. We can't gamble as college athletes, so.
Mac would like to know, what's your go-to animal at the zoo?
Go-to animal at the zoo would have to be, man, good question. Just something about, I'm always been a big cat guy. Big cats always intrigue me. it'd be easy to say Lions. I'd probably say Tiger. I like watching them Tigers, man, just from the color of them and how they move. You know, they like the water. They like to swim. Obviously, all those big cats are great hunters. So I'd say Tiger.
Sam says, I'm in favor of recycling and do my part, but I think some are a little overzealous about it. Are you a recycler?
I do. Yeah, I do. You know, again, a lot of things you do is because of has a lot to do with the way you were raised. So we recycled. I remember, we moved to New Jersey. Recycling was a big thing. We recycled. You pick up on those things. Allegedly, it's good for the atmosphere. And so, yeah, I do recycle. Yep.
Next up, we have Quinn, who says, "I know you said that Chip has been your nickname since you were a kid, but when you were a player, did you have a football nickname that everybody used?"
No, always Chip. I didn't have a football nickname. No, I didn't have a football nickname. That's a good question. I didn't have a football nickname. I don't know a lot of guys that had football nicknames, I guess, but maybe some guys do.
Yeah, well, Primetime was unfortunately taken. That would have been a good
yep.
one for you, too.
Yeah, I guess, yep, but, Primetime, yep, the great, yeah, Primetime. Yep, I can see that one.
And what are our words of wisdom for this week, Coach?
You know what? The beautiful thing about college athletics is you can piggyback off of other programs. But I just really talked to our guys about what our basketball team did this year. You know, the way that they made a deep run, how it made people feel on campus, you know, the pressure that they had to go up to St. John's and get that win, to go down to Gus Davis and come take it down to the last point of the game. So the thing I talked about them too is pressure is a privilege. It's a privilege, you know. It means a lot that people expect things from you. So you got to embrace that, right, and earn your pressure. Man, it's a blessing to have pressure. So I talked to them this morning about, we're the first sport that comes on campus. Let's piggyback off of basketball. Try to find a way to set the tempo for the school year, momentum for classes, and that's a lot of responsibility. And if you want to call it pressure, go ahead. But we want to run towards it. So pressure is a good thing, man. So that was what we talked about. Pressure is a privilege. So we talked about that today.
I love it, Coach Taylor. Thanks for joining us this week.
All right, thanks for listening.